I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
University of Utah Athletic Director Mark Harlan set to join us here momentarily. Excited to catch up with him. He's been doing this thing for a long time, about 20 years, working in some way, shape, or form at the Athletic Director Department. Going back to 2002, where he was the associate AD with Arizona University that he attended. Been with the University of Utah now since 2018. He was also the senior associate AD with UCLA. So he's got a lot of ties in the Pac-12. You know, this is a man that in some way, shape, or form has been tied to the Pac-12 in his career, going all the way back to before 2002 when he was attending the University of Utah. Our next guest, kind enough to join us, athletic director for the University of Utah, Mark Harlan. Mark, how you doing, my friend?
Hands up, doing great. You running the shop today?
I'm running the shop. Scotty's right now in Sacramento, and he is facing a 56-64 deficit in the first round. So,
how much time? How much time's left?
4 minutes and 30 seconds. So they're not completely out of it, but it's getting tight.
God, let's go. Those guys have had a great season. Let's go.
I know. And I know Scotty put so much into it. And he wanted to be here for this conversation. He's like, can we push it back? And I said, no, I'm sorry. He's locked into this time slot forever. So,
it's good to talk to you. We'll catch up with him next time.
Yeah, we'll do it. It's great to talk to you, Mark, because I've looked at so many different things that have been going at the University of Utah. And there's so much to talk about, so many fun things that are happening. You've got Lynn Roberts and this women's basketball team that has just blown the lights out of the building. Talk about how fun it's been to watch her and this team do what they've done.
It's been great, you know. And whenever you're in these moments, you know, you think back to the journey, right? And I just think 5 years ago when I arrived, she had a great team and they just shot out like a rocket. I think we got to 12 or 13-0, and then injuries hit and those kind of things. And so the kind of team fell back, didn't make the postseason. And then we had the COVID situation like everybody and fighting through that. And she just kept, you know, keeping to her North Star, which was just working and recruiting and getting the best staff around her. And then it kind of all came together last year with just an incredible season and getting all the way to the tournament and losing in the second round in Austin versus a really good Texas team. And I remember clearly I was there, and she told the team in the locker room, next year, we're going to get after this thing and we're going to host in the Huntsman Center. And everyone's like, let's do it. And here we are. Just left the press conference about an hour ago. And, you know, it was just fun to watch her and the team be so excited for tomorrow night.
It's so great. 2-seed Utah taking on 15-seed Gardner Webb, as Mark just mentioned, coming up tomorrow night, 5:30 tip on ESPNU. And that's right here. So we're going to be excited to be able to send a lot of those Utah fans up to the Huntsman Center, be able to catch that game. And I'm hoping that thing packs in, because as we've talked about, Mark, that game against Stanford, the attendance was fantastic.
It was just a great crowd. You know, crowd kind of built, was kept building all year. And then we came into that final weekend with a good Cal team. And we saw a really good crowd on that Friday night. And that was a Thursday. And then Saturday came around and, you know, a lot of our community partners stepped up, and, you know, fans that hadn't been to the games before just came in, and it was just and we're treated to an amazing win. You know, two top five basketball teams just battling it out. So got the win. I think we got a lot of people really excited that we're here. So tickets have been moving really, really well. And really looking forward to a big crowd tomorrow night.
I am too. Hopefully they just pack the place. And another thing that's interesting, and I was reading a little bit more about it this morning, you're hosting the Pac-12 Gymnastics Championships as well, right?
Yes, the Pac-12 is here at Maverick Center. Maverick Center and their leadership did a great job, you know, about 4 years ago, of really purchasing all the top gymnastics equipment. It's called Being on the Podium, where the floor is elevated and all this other stuff, and that really attracted the Pac-12 conference. So they did a multi-year deal. I think this is year four of hosting the Pac-12 championship. So we're honored. Yeah, obviously, it's in Salt Lake. It works great for us, but incredible year for the Red Rocks, you know, in top 10 all year. And then in just a crazy wild finish, four teams tied for the regular season Pac-12 championship, and all four Saturday night at Maverick are in the same session to break the tie, as you will. So it should be really one of the nation's premier gymnastics meet in the country thus far. So again, we were pleased because the NCAA has our women's game Friday night, and then everybody can go to Maverick on Saturday night, and if all goes well, come back to the Huntsman on Sunday for round two of the women's tournament. So needless to say, the women are leading the way this weekend.
Utah fans, you've got some responsibility this weekend. Don't think you can just sleep through this weekend. These programs have put in a lot of work, and you got an opportunity to see them right here in this state taking on some great competition. So please take advantage of that and get out to those events. Mark, is this job more or less stressful than you thought it would be when you started into it back in 2002, I think?
Well, I think, you know, there's stress that come with it, but gosh, you know, it is so much more fun, exciting, different every day, all those kind of things that come with it that far outmatch any kind of stress. I mean, you know, it's such an honor to be at Utah, to lead this program. I knew when I got here 5 years ago now, which is just crazy how fast it's gone, you know, that Chris Hill had left such a great group of people, coaches, staff, and a platform for us to really continue to move things forward. And, you know, the energy you get from that and trying to make sure you're doing everything you can for these students and coaches, you know, surrounded by a great admin team. But, you know, it really has been terrific. You know, stress comes from things that are slightly out of your control normally. And I suppose that probably the only real stress that I feel is, you know, stuff like those LA schools leaving back in whenever it was. It feels like it was 15 years ago now, but at the end of June. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that it happens, and then some of that stuff's all out of your control. But we're working through that now, but far, far more fun than stress.
So I was explaining to people before you jumped on that you have been a part of the Pac-12, even going back to your time at the University of Arizona as a student. I know that the Pac-12 means a lot to you. I know you spent time at UCLA as a senior associate athletic director as well. This conference has to mean a lot to you. And I'm curious, where do you feel like this conference is currently, as it currently stands?
Well, you're right. I have a lot of history in this conference, and grew up in Los Angeles. Family were, you know, longtime season ticket holders at UCLA. And then just being an undergraduate and graduate student in Arizona and working there for almost 17 years. And then the time at UCLA and then now here. So you're absolutely right. There's a lot of knowledge I have about the league, how it operates, how it functions, how it thinks. And so June 30, you know, was a very personal moment for me, just as the person, much less the athletic director of another school in the conference. It was it just felt like everything came to a grinding halt. And you thought about history, and you thought about our industry, you thought about greed, candidly, you thought about a lot of different things. And then, you know, you get yourself up and you dust yourself off like we tell our student athletes to do, and you get back to work. And so, you know, what I was really pleased was the 10 remaining schools, as we began our strategy sessions and our planning sessions with our presidents and chancellors about what the next thing to do and what would make sense. You know, we've been on that track, and, you know, we had to pivot from our previously decided upon television plan and get to it way quicker than we would have. And, you know, that's what we've been working on. You know, it's disappointing it's taken this long to get the deal done, but, you know, being as someone that's somewhat on the inside, you know, this is primarily the commissioner and his folks working in collaboration with us and certainly our presidents, but it's a complicated deal, Hans. It really is. You know, we're coming off 12 years of owning our own network, three different channels, plus a national channel, a lot of inventory. So you're working on all these different packages. It's almost like having a pizza and having to cut it up. And some folks take slice this and slice that. We could have done an early renewal. Well, I think we saw the Big 12 do that. But we wanted to be a little bit more creative and talk to new partners. And all of that has led for a little longer time delay. But we're getting close. So to get to your question specifically, I feel real good about this conference. We need to get a deal that will allow us to all move forward. You know, you've seen it, I think, with this year's football results. We're all investing more in football than we ever had across the whole, you know, group of schools. I think we're going to see that again next year and into the years coming. But we got to get a good deal. I'm confident we're heading in that direction, and then we can lock arms and continue on. If we need to expand, if we think that's in our best interest, we'll look at that too.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
So, Mark, I've always been curious with athletic directors because I know that you've got close friendships. But in terms of your conference athletic directors, do you stay in close touch with every one of the nine that will be remaining? Or is it kind of more of a distance in touch? How much do you interact with the other athletic directors?
That's a great question. You know, a lot. And I think that, you know, you come into the league as I did, coming back as the AD here. And I had some that I, you know, was closer to others just based on past experiences. But in the time since I've been there, I've become very, very close with, frankly, all of them. You know, when you have what happens with the two LA schools, who I was friends with both those guys too, you know, I took it personally.
Yeah.
For a period of time and, you know, really didn't want to talk to those guys. I didn't want to be in the same Zoom with those guys, you know, but you've got to go through a reflective period of business is business, and, you know, you move on the personal side. But I'll tell you, with the 10 others, and we're always on Zooms together or we're in person, you know, it really has drawn us closer together. We all understand the number one thing, and this is absolutely true, is our institutions. And the University of Utah is my chief responsibility, working with President Randall to make sure Utah emerges from all this in the best possible way. And, of course, our decision is the best possible way is to stick together as 10. So we all understand that, but we also know that we have to work together, and I think that that's what we've been seeing, and I think our network partners and others have realized that too as we try to close this deal. But, you know, you have to have colleagues. You know, there's things that might go on in the department, and how do I fix that? I'll pick up the phone, I'll call Jen up at Washington, and how are you handling this? Or, you know, I'll call Rob at Oregon, or I can go on and on. Because, you know, none of us are inventing anything here. We need to steal good ideas, and so they're always helpful in that regard.
So when the media rights do come down and they are finalized, do they send it over to the University of Utah, to you and the president, and looking for approval? How is the final approval given to the numbers that are presented to you guys?
Yeah, again, great question. So we have the league is run by a board of directors, and the board of directors are the presidents and chancellors of the, in this case, of the 10 schools, right? Because the two LA school presidents will have nothing to do with this piece. So it's the 10 presidents and chancellors. In that group, there's a group of three that's the executive board, and that happens to be the presidents at Oregon, Washington State, Stanford, and Washington. So those three will work directly with George whenever he has, you know, the information, and then they'll bring it to the broader board. The broader board will then make its approval. In that, the ADs will be asked questions about certain aspects of it and all of that, and leading to, you know, maybe adjustments, leading to approval, all of those kind of things. And then once we have all that done, then we go into the grant of rights process, which then tethers the institution for the length of time of that television deal. So all of that's forthcoming.
So, Mark, how confident are you this is going to get done?
Very confident. You know, the updates have been really good as of late. You know, we went through a lot of different interesting, probably never before dealt with issues. For example, let me give you one that really delayed this. Was there was a real period of time there that UCLA might have been blocked by the Board of Regents of their institutions to go to the Big Ten. You know, at first it was kind of like, is that a possibility? And then as it started to go along, it really seemed like some of the regents there were very upset in the way UCLA handled it, this along with the negative effects that it could have toward Cal Berkeley. I mean, UCLA and Cal are tied, you know. I mean, those two have done everything together for so long. And they didn't make their final decision. I want to say it was like the first week in December or the last week in November. And that really delayed a lot of probably work that could have been done, because obviously if UCLA was forced to stay in the league, that changes your television deal. So that was the number one delay, along with the complications. We're kind of through all that now. And now we're just kind of getting down to the details. So I'm very confident we're trending in the right direction, and we look forward to getting completion.
Well, it's been fascinating to watch it play out and some of the reports that come out. I know that there was a report from Dennis Dodd that said that the Pac-12 schools are actively talking to the Big 12, and hence the tweet that came from you. And I've really talked at length about the tweet you sent, because I've known your work long enough to know that you don't do knee-jerk things. You are very calculated in everything that you do. And it felt like that tweet was saying, no, this report isn't accurate. We're feeling pretty good about things. Did you have any regrets on that tweet that you sent?
No, I didn't. You know, I just, you know, I think it was probably a moment that, you know, I think there comes a point in time where, you know, you're in the middle of a project, and I know what we do is very public, and I actually have great respect for everyone's work they have to do. But there was something about that article, and I really like Dennis. I mean, he's covered sports. I've known Dennis for 15 years, but that article was just flat wrong in a lot of different ways. And I just felt it started portraying particularly the University of Utah in a grouping of the corner schools, and just some things that I knew weren't true. And I just kind of had enough, you know, and I just felt like the need to just kind of send out a signal that, you know, those of you that are all reading this and just think it's over, it's just not true. And you know, did I think it would get that kind of attention? No. But, you know, I think it probably did help a little bit in explaining that, you know, we're trying to finish the deal. And we've said all along that we're working together, and you know, I guess some people are impatient and they want the deal done now, and rather we're just trying to get the best deal and the right path and believe in our commissioner to do it. So that's kind of why that happened in that tweet. You know, you see something and you know it's not accurate, you just kind of come out and say something. And I'm pleased. I think some of our presidents have come out probably way more articulate than I'll ever be in our league in the last 3 or 4 days, kind of articulating the same thing, maybe, but in a better way.
it's actually been really nice. It's like the cavalry showed up. You sent out the tweet, and then it's this president. We had Arizona president, I think, last night or this morning. We had Arizona State 2 days ago. Yeah. And it was like, see, and I actually sent a tweet. I'm like, see, Mark Harlan's not just firing tweets out there for no reason. Like, these presidents seem unified and seem like they're on the same page.
Animal House when John Belushi's running out, let's go get him, and no one follows. Yeah. It was a little bit like that, but no, it's all good, and you know, we're moving in the right direction, and for Utah, that's a great situation to be in.
Well, it's a great direction. You've got the women's basketball team tipping off tomorrow night. That's at the Huntsman Center. You've got women's gymnastics coming up this weekend at the Maverick Center. We've got Utah spring football kicking off after a couple of runs to the Rose Bowl, and we get to see Cam Rising and the whole crew come back. There's a lot of great things going on, and Mark, it's been a pleasure to have you on talking about it.
Thank you, Hans. Appreciate your work, man. Always fun driving around town listening to you guys. Keep it up.
Thank you so much. Athletic Director for the University of Utah, Mark Harlan.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.